Joining me right now to talk about this further is a 10-year MLB vet. He was the ninth pick overall in the 94 draft. He is a broadcaster for the Texas Rangers. He is a host on MLB Radio, and he is still America's foremost authority on travel etiquette. He is CJ Nikowski. CJ, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good, man, and I feel exactly the same way you do. It's like, even for us, we're all, you know, all baseball channel when I'm doing radio. We're like, oh, let's get past it, but you can't. It's more and more keeps coming out, and there's more things that need attention.
Well, that's the truth, isn't it? So what do you make of how the last month has played out? I would love to get by, but we can't. What about the entire last month? What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. I think that when the commissioner first came out with everything, I was pretty satisfied. I thought it came out pretty strong. Quite honestly, right? The year suspensions for Jeff Luhnow and for A.J. Hinch and then for Jim Crane to go on top of that and fire both of those guys was pretty fascinating. That one really blew me away. And it looked like Jim Crane was about to step in and say, you know what, enough is enough. Because they had a bunch of messes going back to the middle of last season, right? Justin Verlander wouldn't allow a reporter in the clubhouse. Then they had the thing during the postseason where you had the assistant GM that got fired for, you know, yelling at a couple of female reporters, and they just botched all of those. And it seemed like Jim Crane was over it, and he was dropping the hammer. And then he started to step on himself a little bit, and probably more than a little bit, when he was contradicting himself through his entire press conference. And the idea that, you know, these guys are saying that they're sorry, but they dig their heels in when it comes to talking about the postseason and us wanting to have the conversation about the World Series in 17 being tainted. They just will not relent on that, which has made it worse. But the biggest surprise in all this for me, Jim, is I've been shocked at how players have reacted. I mean, this player-on-player hate to a level that I certainly wasn't expecting. And as you mentioned, some big names, too, and some guys that don't talk very often. Like Mike Trout's pretty quiet. He talked about how upset he was. We heard Judge, you know, pretty straightforward guy. And then Nick Markakis saying that there was guys in that clubhouse yesterday that need a beating. I mean, that's all really shocking to see players come out, and Cody Bellinger as well, as strong as they have against Astros players.
CJ Nikowski joining us. So, CJ, why is that? Why are they so offended by that? Why do you think players are lashing out the way they are?
I think it probably has to do with some of the smugness that we have seen from the Astros players, right? There hasn't been a lot of contrite attitudes in what we've heard from these guys. And, you know, they've always been an organization that has a little edge to them. They're confident in what they do. I think the first couple of apologies from Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve at their fan fest did not go over well at all. I mean, it was almost as if, like, yeah, I know we got caught, but we don't care. And then they had those guys basically read for about 30 seconds in the press conference at spring training, and that wasn't really well received. And so I think that's the frustration there. And then the pushback on the postseason, or the pushback on the idea that they didn't have that much of an advantage. I mean, the fact that Aaron Judge, I know it's so 2020, but the idea that he deleted a tweet congratulating Jose Altuve on winning the MVP back in 17, and he couldn't even have that up anymore. He was so disgusted. It's really amazing. But these guys feel cheated, and they're frustrated because, you know, as far as these Astros players go, there really hasn't been anything that they felt outside of the pushback from fans and the pushback from some of their own within the game. But they're still going to get paid. They're still keeping rings. In the case of Jose Altuve, he's keeping an MVP trophy from 2017, and there really is no effect outside of a bad reputation.
CJ Nikowski joining us. I think you hit on the two key points for me, CJ. Number one, they don't seem like they're all that sorry. They don't seem like they're all that contrite. They're sorry they're in this position, but I'm not sure they're sorry what they did. And the other point is the commissioner's tried to argue that the Astro players have already faced a punishment because their names are tied to this and their accomplishments have been tainted, even if they didn't get that title taken away. I mean, in your opinion, is that enough? Have they paid any price at all?
I mean, it'll be rough for them, but it should be much worse. You know, it's so interesting, man. Like, to see, first of all, we've seen in spring training, and they're already starting to hear it a little bit. And, you know, it even goes back to a part of, remember, Justin Verlander, of course, won the Cy Young Award and kind of joked a little bit about this whole situation when he received his award, which didn't go over
really
well.
He fell flat, right?
These things just keep kind of adding up. And listen, Alex Bregman could have won the MVP this year. He could have made an argument that he should have won it. That would not have gone over really well either. But so that's what's kind of led us to this point, and that they continue to kind of have these attitudes, man. It hasn't been great for the game, but this was a necessary evil, no doubt. But yeah, we have to try to have this conversation. It's tough to do, right? Like, what would they really do anything different? Like you said, are they really, really sorry? I mean, put yourself in the shoes of any of those guys. You still have your MVP. You still have your ring. In case of Jose Altuve, you still have your $168 million contract extension. Alex Bregman still has his $100 million contract extension. Nothing has really changed for them outside of that. You know, they took part in ruining a couple of careers. in A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. Now we'll see how things bounce back over the next couple of years. I'm not overly optimistic for their GM, but maybe for A.J. Hinch, we'll see. But, you know, outside of that, they haven't really faced much, and I think the criticism they can handle because they get to keep all the stuff they really want.
Right. In other words, cheating does pay. I mean, it does. I'm not saying it's right. I don't condone it, but in that sense, it really does pay. Now, you've made the point that initially you were opposed to the idea of stripping or vacating the 2017 World Series title, but now you believe there's an argument that could be made for doing that. Can you break that down? What changed for you, and what's the argument for it now?
Yeah, so you're listening to Rob Manfred talk about precedent. I kind of agreed. It seemed like it was taking it too far. I hate when we see that in the NCAA, and you certainly can't award it to another team. You can't automatically give it to the Dodgers. But the more people that I've listened to, and then the more I've seen this thing kind of unfold and the real anger for the players, suspensions were never a real thing. They were never a possibility. I know people are frustrated, but it just wasn't a reality in this investigation. I mean, players were going to get suspended. So what could really hurt? And based on it, going back to the way that Jim Crane, from the very top to the bottom, Jim Crane, the owner, and then all the way down to that clubhouse, everyone has dug in and said, no, it didn't affect the World Series. You know how important it is to them. And it's important to this franchise because, you know, they went through that rebuild. We all kind of laughed at them a little bit, like, what are the Astros doing? And they were justified in their actions because they won a World Series. So, okay, you know what? You've got to take them seriously. What they did actually worked. And they kind of got the last laugh. Well, you take that away from them, and all of a sudden that legacy of this new group of Astros, and I know their GM's gone anyway, so it's going to feel different going forward. But all of a sudden that entire thing is shot. And, you know, for these billionaire owners, man, I mean, it's you know, these owning an organization, I mean, it's, you know, first of all, it's tough to come by. And this is kind of like your toy, your point of pride. These guys have been successful in so many other areas of business, but you cannot buy a World Series ring, right? Your team has to go out there and earn it, and everything has to come together. And you can have the nicest watch and the nicest car and the sweetest pad, you know, vacation pad, but that World Series ring that you get to bring to your other billionaire buddies, they can't have one. They can't get one. And the idea of telling the Astros that they have to give it back, not to physically give the rings back, but that would be vacated, to me, sends as a bigger message that I didn't think needed to be sent. But based on all these reactions, and I don't think we'll see it, but it's probably the only one that actually would get through at this point.
CJ Nankowski joins me for another few moments. CJ, what about this notion of pitchers retaliating against the Astros on the field? What's your reaction when you hear that, and how likely is it, and to what extent do you think it'll be?
Yeah, you got to be careful. I know that once you have the uniform off, you have a tendency to think a little bit more clear-headed than when you have it on. And there are some guys that are really upset. There's been guys that have been pretty outspoken about that fact, but the commissioner's trying to get out in front of it. Will we see it? Probably. I don't think we're going to see it a ton. And as much as I'm as angered and frustrated with the Astros as everybody else, it's not necessarily the right way, in my opinion, to go out and start targeting a bunch of these guys. And, you know, the idea of guys getting hurt or having career-ending injuries, taking a fastball up too high, doesn't change anything. And I don't think that's necessarily the proper retaliation. We'll see it, I think, a couple of times. So now we're going to see whether or not or how both the umpires and then eventually Major League Baseball try to judge intent, right? That's the hardest thing. I mean, the Astros were hit 66 times last year. The Mets led all of baseball with 95 hit by pitches. Like, guys are going to get hit. What I don't want to see happen is some, all of a sudden starters roll into Houston or any pitcher for that matter, and they feel like they got to be careful throwing inside because they don't want to get kicked out of the game. Like, if there's a pitcher that's kicked out of the game because he hits a guy in the second inning and there was no intent behind it, that manager's going to go crazy. I mean, he's going to lose his mind. He's going to get ejected as well. And so it's going to be a balancing act, and hopefully Major League Baseball will lean on the side, at least in-game, that it wasn't intentional and that they need to kind of sift through it after the fact, and they do. I know Dusty Baker's worried about it, and he's already brought it up, but there'll be some incidents this year, no doubt.
Hey, listen, I think this is such a key point that you just made. I mean, can you imagine if people right now are already so frustrated and so angry, and then the point is made that you cannot come inside, or they think they can't come inside because of what's gone down. Does that not give Houston an advantage all over again?
Exactly, and for any hitter, right, they'll tell you if they only have to worry about one side of the plate, just like knowing what pitch is coming, that's a huge advantage. And so, you know, it happens anyway, even in these situations that are different than how obviously extreme this one is, where sometimes umpires feel like there was an intentional hit by pitch, and it really wasn't, right? It was just the guy trying to work the inside of the plate, and it got away from him a little bit. And that's why I say judging intent is one that really bothers me. My favorite thing to watch, which I didn't really think too much about today, it's really incredible that the All-Star game is going to be in Los Angeles this year at Dodger Stadium. I mean, and at least one Astro has to be there. I'm really curious to see how they'll do in the voting this year. And Dusty Baker, of course, a former Dodger, has to manage that team. He doesn't get to pick. They got rid of that rule where the manager gets to pick some of his own players. That's over with. But the idea that there could be some Astros suiting up this year in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium for the All-Star game could be pretty amazing.
That is going to be fascinating. CJ, one last stop. Because you're a broadcaster with the Rangers, you don't travel with the general public as much as you used to, but there's no way that you come on here and I don't ask you something about etiquette. You tweeted recently that the most famous person you ever sat next to on a plane was CeeLo Green. How did that go? And more importantly, how was his travel etiquette?
It was pretty good. So he had the window and I had the aisle. It was an overnight. It was a red-eye flight from Atlanta to New York. When I used to work in L.A., that Atlanta to New York flight, it was pretty steady. Atlanta to L.A. It's not Atlanta to New York, but a decent amount of celebrities because there's so much going on in Atlanta these days and so much filming. And so I'd always see a handful of celebrities when I took that flight pretty consistently. But, you know, one thing that my wife had said to me, that always, and I had to look when I was there, she's like, you ever notice how small his hands were? Like, she had said that to me before I had sat next to him, and I couldn't help. I was trying not to stare. But his etiquette was off the charts. He was actually really nice and friendly, and nothing but good things to say about CeeLo Green and our, not that he remembers it, but our 5.5 hours together.
I love it. A 10-year MLB vet, 9th pick overall in 94. He is a broadcaster for the Texas Rangers. He is a host on MLB Radio, and again, America's foremost authority still on travel etiquette. CJ, I appreciate you. Great to have you back, and thank you for always doing the show.
You got it, Jim. Take care, man. Have a great day.
You too. CJ, thanks so much. That's a pro's pro. CJ Nikowski. You know, it's funny. He and I come out on the same page on a lot of that stuff. I was quick to say when it first went down, if you're looking for Rob Manfred to rip that 27 world title, that's not going to happen. And it's still not going to happen. But I'm certainly more open to it right now because nothing has happened to the players. And this is why the opposing players are so unhappy. A player-driven scandal. Remember, Manfred said that in his report. It's a player-driven scandal, yet there's been no punishment for the players, and this is why all the other players are so unhappy. And because of what he just said, because a number of the Astros have been pretty smug in the way they've handled it.